Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sky Blaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. I'm back to my regular time, but apologies if you do hear any bangs and crashes in the background. Despite Bonfire Night being on Tuesday, people are still setting off fireworks, and the design of my apartment complex means it echoes quite a lot. So apologies if you do get any weird background noise. That's what it is. So then, Sega has a long history of making their own consoles and other peripherals. But here we've got a few which aren't really games console related, or some that are but are not quite what you'd expect. Basically, this is all weird things that Sega has produced over the years. So starting off with the Sega Digio SJ1, which as far as I'm aware is Sega's first and only LCD digital camera. This was released in 1996 for the total sum of $300. What is more amusing is that this came out a full 2 years before, say, Nintendo brought out the Game Boy camera. For its time, it boasted a fairly impressive set of specs, which included a 320 by 240 pixel sensor, a manual focus which allowed you to do macro level photography, as well as a digital viewfinder, which also acts as a playback device. Your photos were stored on a 240 kilobyte smart media card, which can store up to 20 photos, which, not much, but this is the very early days of digital cameras, so it wasn't too bad for a first attempt. As mentioned, this was the only digital camera that Sega made, but they did make an update to it, which included a viewfinder magnifier, as trying to view the pictures you took put quite a strain on your eyes, just because it was so tiny. Unfortunately, to put your pictures onto a PC, you did have to wait until the following year, when they brought out a proprietary cable and floppy disk with software which allowed you to transfer from the camera to a PC. If you were interested in this, LGR, I believe, did a video on the device where he went into depth about it, and how it works and how good of a camera it is. Basically, for a very early digital camera, it's actually not half bad. Okay, so who have we got in the chat today? We've got Ravsig, we've got Electric Boogaloo, Doan, BrickGamer98, Nicholas Aman. I think Twinny might be lurking about somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where. Doan's saying, Sega do like doing things very early but not really going anywhere with it. That's very true. There's a lot of kind of Sega did it first and then didn't do anything else with it sort of things. Which is weird, because a lot of their stuff kind of then went on to strongly influence the things that went after. I mean, you compare the Dreamcast controller with the Switch in portable form, or even the Wii U controller. But since we're talking about digital cameras, I've been all clever and stuff, and I'm probably going to get things thrown at me, but hey. So, from Sonic Mania, we've got Studiopolis Act 1, Lights, Camera, Action. And then after that, from Shadow the Hedgehog, we've got Digital Circuit, composed by our very favourite Jun Senoue. So, enjoy those. Oops, that's my phone. And I will see you guys after the break. are back. And that was Shadow the Hedgehog Digital Circuit, composed by Jun Senoue, and composed by T. Lopes. We've got from Sonic Mania, Studiopolis Act 1, Lights, Camera, Action. Now, still talking sort of about the digital camera. Before the proprietary cable and floppy disk were released, you did have the option to enhance your pictures by using a device such as the Picture Magic, a tablet which allowed you to view and modify your pictures. The tablet would come with a pen and a cartridge which contained the program to work on your pictures. Also on the side of the tablet is where you would slide in your smart media card. The device itself runs on a combined 32X and Mega Drive motherboard, although the Mega Drive part has been simplified down into a much easier design, so it's a bit smaller. The device outputs to your TV and allows you to squeeze and reshape photos, as well as add effects and other text to it. A bit like Photoshop. Sort of. A very similar, kind of simplified version of it, using a 32X and Mega Drive motherboard for some reason. And no either. Once you've finished with your photos, well, what do you do then? Well, why not print them with the Sega Pre-Fun, or Pri-Fun? I'm not really sure how you're supposed to pronounce that. This printer was designed for the Sega Saturn and the Sega Pico, and I've discussed the Pico before. This device was released in 1995. The printer allows you to print both paper and sticker versions of images, and it does this by connecting your device via video cable, so you can actually hook up the printer with Sega Pre-Fun to your Mega Drive and print screen grabs from your games. And there are videos on YouTube which where people have in fact done this. Electric Boogaloo's put up a picture of the printer itself in the Discord chat, so if you're curious you can have a look. I'll put it on Twitter in a bit. In addition to the Pre-Fun printer, you can get what is known as a pause pack. This will connect to the back of the Pre-Fun and allow you to freeze the screen, making your prints look cleaner. As without it, you probably get a bit of a garbled mess, as the line scan means that it started to change the image once in the time that it takes you to print. There's also an expansion slot on the front which allows you to insert a character pack. This will allow you to add extra images, effects and fonts on top of your image. So, all sorts of ways of manipulating photos. As far as I know, I don't think this device was available outside of Japan, but I could be wrong on that front. Because as I say, people have hooked it up to not only the Sega Saturn and Pico, but also the Mega Drive. As far as I know, nobody's tried the Master System yet, but I could be wrong on that one as well. Let's see. Electric Boogaloo has put up a picture of the communication card for the Pre-Fun. The hobby printer Pre-Fun. Pri-Fun. I don't know how you pronounce it. How do you pronounce that? Is it Pri-Fun or Pre-Fun? Pronunciation of printer would suggest it's pre, but... Oh well. Let's have some more music then. So this one is a request from Electric Boogaloo. So from Shining Wisdom, we've got the track Celebration. And then, because I mentioned the Sega Pico earlier, it turns out there's a track called Pico on the F-Zero GX soundtrack. So I'm going to play that just because. So enjoy those tracks, and I'll speak to you guys again after music break. And we are back. And that was F-Zero GX Pico. And before that we had From Shining Wisdom Celebration, which was requested by Electric Boogaloo. And as Electric Boogaloo said, those tracks actually mixed together quite well. So Radio DJ's autofade function has been doing quite well recently. I pat it on the head. Radio DJ does have its issues, but I'll give it that one. It occasionally gets it right. Ah, dear. For some people, the website, this Radio Sega website is still down. On my announcement tweets and on the RS Live channel on Discord, there's a link that you should be, a direct link you should be able to use, so you can bypass the website. Please let me know if you're still having problems, and I will see if I can give you access another way. I don't know how you'd hear that. Oh well, never mind. Okay. Moving on from cameras and printers to very odd consoles. I have previously talked about combination consoles, but I have in fact found another one. The CSD-GM1, also known as the Iowa Mega CD, which was released in Japan in 1994, and is in fact... Brick Gamer says, good thing you told everyone who's listening how to tune in. Yes, I know, I realised as soon as I said it. As I've said, I've had a migraine for 3 days, and I am currently running on painkillers and caffeine. Could be worse. I could still have the migraine. So, the Iowa Mega CD is in fact two units pushed together to make a whole. First is the main Iowa CD player, which has additional radio and cassette player functions, which would then sit on top of the slimmer unit, which would allow you to plug in your Mega Drive cartridges and controllers, as well as enabling it to play Mega CD games. Then, oddly, rather than having a built-in connection joining the two like you'd have on a standard Mega Drive and Mega CD setup, Iowa inexplicably decided that you would need a separate parallel connector cable which connects the two halves together. So, if you lose that cable, you are kind of stuffed, unless you hoard vintage PC cables. I'm not entirely sure if that's a proprietary cable or not. It probably is, which means you'd have to kind of fashion your own cable, which is going to be a colossal pain without knowing what the pinouts are. Now then, to access the console, you have to toggle a switch on top of the CD player, which lets you switch between radio, CD, cassette, and console. The Iowa Mega CD appears to run on the Mega CD 2 firmware, and you can also alter the volume of with the Iowa Mega CD as well. One interesting thing to note is that you can hook up the 32X, however, because the cartridge slot is at the bottom, you have to kind of lay the Iowa Mega CD on its side to get it to stay in place. So it's not exactly the ideal console for using the 32X with. Electric Boogaloo's put up a couple of pictures and videos of the Iowa Mega CD. One interesting thing about this thing is that it did come with a controller, which is a standard Mega Drive controller, apart from the fact that it's bright blue and has the Iowa branding on it. It's weird how many of these things exist. Like, any piece of technology that sat still for long enough would have a Mega Drive shoved inside it. It was amazing. Ah, the 90s. Right, let's have some more music then, before this gets too silly. So, from Quinn Fox, over at OC Remix, we've got a remix of Lunar Eternal Blue. This one's called Orange October. And then from Popful Mail, we've got Volcanic Zone. So enjoy those, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break. Thank you. are back. And my script's vanished. There you are. Right, that was from Popful Mail Volcanic Zone, and before that we had from Quinn Fox at OC Remix, Luna Eternal Blue Orange October. So, on to one of the strangest things that I've ever seen Sega produce. This is the Sega Grand Pianist. This is a 1/6 scale grand piano, which can play up to 100 built-in songs, or songs you can input via an SD memory card. Under a small lid, you can find a tiny LCD screen and buttons to turn it on, select mode, choose songs, and play them. This piano was released in 2007 by Sega Toys, and comes with an adorable tiny seat to match the piano. You can find it in black or white. It has a working lid for the main body, so you can see inside the piano, and that isn't even the best bit. This toy has fully functional keys. Yes, that's right, you can play this thing like an actual piano, even though it is 1/6 the size. You probably have to have, like, baby's fingers, or, like, strap the end of your fingers to chopsticks or something to have, like, tips of the right size to play this. But it is possible to play a tune on this thing. I don't... What? Sega, explain! Please explain, Sega! You are confusing me! Oh, Japan. I've just seen what Brit Gamers put up in the chat. Brit Gamers has put the, you know, the Galaxy Brain meme. The first one, the tiny brain thing, is Mega Drive and Mega CD combo, and the bigger brain is Wonder Mega / XI, and then the Multi Mega / CDX, and then right at the top you've got with the Galaxy Brain you've got Iowa Mega CD. That's brilliant. I love it. Before that, Dom was saying that volcanic levels always seem to have pretty theme tunes. I can never remember how the Saturn version goes, but I adore Volcano Valley and Mega Drive Sonic 3D. And then saying Lava Reef is quite pretty too. Yeah, I quite like Lava Reef. And Electro Boogaloo's put up a couple of pictures of the Sega Grand Pianist. I don't... What was this for? Somewhere in my research, it suggested that there was, like, you can get some custom memory cards where you can get songs like from the Hello Kitty series and things, which just... Japan, you blow my mind, guys and girls and non-specific people. So yeah, I'm going to have a couple of tracks that have got a lot of piano in. From our friends over at RKO Remix, rather. This is from VRD. We've got Turbo Outrun on a piano. And after that, we've got another one from OC Remix. We've got Ruben Key, Shenmue Reflections. So I hope you enjoy that, and I will speak to you guys again after the break.
listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7. Thank you.
Sorry, I think I fell asleep during that last track. Maybe a bit too chill for this time of night, when I've been ill all week. Yeah, that was Ruben Key, Shenmue Reflections, from our friends over at OC Remix. And before that we had VRD, or Verd, or however he's pronouncing it. Turbo Outrun on a Piano, from RKO Remix. Finally, we have a device that was released in 2009, which could only be won in arcades. I'm talking about the Sega Vision. Now, this was a portable media device, which does all the things that your smartphone has, except get on the internet and make phone calls. So a bit like an old-fashioned iPod, really. The only thing that which it comes with which you can't do with smartphones is watch live analog TV. Though these days you can't really do that, since everybody switched over to digital formats. And the analog signals are now switched off. The Sega Vision has a built-in storage capacity, which according to the packaging can vary from as little as 512 megabytes up to 8 gigabytes, although the most common size seems to be 2 gigabytes. The TV aerial is housed within the unit and can be drawn out. Once extended, can then be folded to rest against the device, so you can keep it in landscape position. A bit like the Game Gear TV tuner. One interesting thing is that while you're navigating the menu on this device, you can spy an icon which looks like a game controller, which is set in between Explorer and Settings options. From what I've been able to discover, Sega did plan to have this play some sort of basic Flash games, but decided against it at some point during development. So while the icon is there, when you try and navigate across to it, it will skip this and move on to the next item along. I've not so far been able to find anybody who's been able to get into one of these to mod it so that this works. I can't imagine it would be that difficult, but these were sufficiently uncommon that nobody's bothered. Electro Boogaloo is saying, not to be confused with this Sega Vision. Yeah, why does Sega keep reusing names? It's very annoying. IO is saying 9 days to go, not that I'm counting. Shenmue 3, right, yes, of course. Electro Boogaloo has put up a video from Retro Game Tech of the Sega Vision portable media player, saying under the obscure gadget. Yeah, it kind of is. They're actually kind of cool. I wouldn't mind having one, just because I quite like MP3 players. And it's Sega branded, so I'm a shill. I doubt I'll ever be able to afford one though, because they are quite obscure and quite rare. Would I mod it? I don't know. I'm not as good enough a programmer to actually mod it myself, so... And as far as I'm aware, nobody's actually done it. Done any mod work that I'm aware of. You can tell the painkillers are wearing off. Right, okay. And that's what we're saying, it's not Sega Visions either. Sega, stop reusing names! Oh my god! Right, anyway. Now because I am terribly creative, we're gonna have a couple of tracks that have got the word Vision in the name. So from Castlevania Bloodlines, we've got A Vision of Dark Secrets. And then from the same people that do Secluded Stronghold, which I use as my intro music, Kanjinka over at OC Remix, has also done a track based on Sky Sanctuary called Breathtaking Vision in the same sort of style. And it's just as good, so you can listen to that as well. So... enjoy those, and I'll be back after the break for Chiptune Corner.
Thank you.
And we are back. And that was Kanjinka with Breathtaking Vision, a remix of Sky Sanctuary from our friends over at OC Remix again. And before that we had from Castlevania Bloodlines, a vision of Dark Secrets. So then, Rafsig was saying that Breathtaking Vision sounds a bit Soul Calibur-esque in places. It does a bit, yeah. It's the brass, I think. But I really love that remix, almost as much as I love Secluded Sanctuary, which I use for my intro. Except when it's Halloween, obviously. And Brit Kamer is saying it was used in before the sequel Act 3 of Cloudy Crowd. Okay. I've not played that, so I'll take your word for that one. So, on to Chiptune Corner. For those who are fans of chiptunes, specifically stuff from the Commodore 64 and Amiga era, the C64 audio project has been around in one form or another since 1998, creating remixes and new arrangements of music from the Commodore 64 and occasionally the Amiga. From 2001, the organisers have also put on live events, including the 8-bit Symphony event that I, Grey Four, Jamie and Superbike attended in late spring. You can find their work on c64audio.com, and I strongly recommend you check their stuff out. There's some stuff which is available to download for free, and some stuff which is available for quite cheap. They have done a lot of stuff over the years, so it's worth giving it a look. One of the groups which is associated with the 664 audio project is a group called Fast Loaders, who do remixes of C64 audio tracks. So, to give you a taste of the sort of output you can expect from C64 audio, here we have Fast Loaders with Green Beret, which is originally composed by Martin Galway. So I'll put a link to C64 audio on the chat so you can check it out for yourselves. And here we go with Green Beret by Fast Loaders. Tell me what you think, and I'll speak to you guys again after this. Thank you. And we are back. And that was Green Beret by the Fast Loaders, originally composed by Martin Galway. I strongly recommend you check out C64 Audio. There's some amazing stuff on there, and I don't want you guys to miss out on that. Right, so that's it for today's Hidden Palace. Thank you everybody for tuning in. So Doan, Ravsig, Nicholas Aman, Brick Gamer, Electric Boogaloo, and everybody else who's in the chat or wherever you happen to be listening in from. Next week I'll be looking at some strange add-ons for the Dreamcast, many of which never made it to market. But if you have an idea for a topic you would like me to cover, or some thematically appropriate songs to request for a future episode, you can reach me on Discord, the Radio Sega Discord, where I am Skyblaze, or you can find me on Twitter, where I am at Blazing Skies, or you can reach me through the Radio Sega Twitter or Facebook pages if you prefer. I've been Skyblaze, this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. For the final track today, because I went to see Steve Hackett at Genesis Revisited gig earlier this week, you now get to listen to a track that reminds me very strongly of Genesis' early prog rock work. So from Random Encounter, it's Medusa's Vents. Thanks everybody for listening. Stay tuned because Saturday Night Sega is going to be up next. So make sure you stay tuned in for that one. So I've been Skyblaze, this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Take care. Good night. Take care.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.